Good morning, Father's House, and welcome to church. My name is Michael Collier. It is a joy for me to welcome you to church this morning, both here in the building, for those of you who were able to brave the Herald Cycle Tour and make it to church, for everyone joining us online from across the country, around the world, and on Kingfisher FM. So church in the building, will you please help me welcome everyone joining us online. And while you're clapping, will you please help me thank Vince and the team for leading us so excellently in worship today? Really fantastic. Thank you for spending your Sunday with us. It really is a privilege to be in church with you today. So during the first couple of months of this year, we've been unpacking our vision and our values. We've been looking at the word of the year that we think the Lord has placed on our heart. We've been calling it Restore 24, based on Jesus quoting Isaiah 61. I'll read it a little bit later in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus quotes it. But Isaiah 61 speaks about how Jesus restores us and then invites us to go and restore the world. And so we've been unpacking that as our vision for the year. Our church's vision to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace, that we unpacked in January. And this month, we're unpacking the second part of that vision, to express our faith and our freedom in every sphere and season. So if you've missed out on any of the messages thus far, you can find them on YouTube or on the podcast channel. It's just helping us give language to why we do church the way we do church and what we believe as a church. So I hope it's been helpful, or as helpful for you as it's been for myself and Vincent. Part of expressing our faith and freedom in every sphere and season is activation, as you can see. So the month of February each year, we take the month to allow for a space for you to form part of the church family. You know, we're all part of a body, part of the body, and part of being in a body is that we all are connected to one another in Christ, but we all have a part to play, a gift, a unique set of gifts given to us by God to contribute to the body. So activation is your way of being able to say, yeah, here I am, Lord, send me, use me in the gift that you've given me. It's part of making a house a home. And once you've made your house a home, you participate, you help, and you make it feel welcoming for others. So there's various spaces that we can get involved in activation. If you'd like to be involved on a Sunday in one of our serving teams, we use the Big Five language, so you'll see animals scattered around throughout the church and the outside. So buffaloes, those are our Sunday serving teams because we do things in herds. That's anything from being a helping hand in the parking lot or in the coffee shop, a welcoming face at the door, or a friendly face in the guest lounge afterwards to make people feel at home. So those are our buffaloes if you'd like to serve in those spaces. Then our, what we call our elephants, is our kids' church space because they care for their young. Yeah, Sasona is a kids' church leader. We had Nikki here. And so if you've got a heart for the next generation to be raised up in the way of the Lord, you want to offer your hands to serve in kids' church, their various spaces, then that's your space for you. Then our lions, those are our group hosts because they look after their pride. They do things together. So if you'd like to open your home or open your heart to host a small group or host an alpha group, then signing up to be a lion is a place for you. I certainly, this church went from being a big church that I attended to feeling like a family church that I was at home in when I joined a small group. So if that's the place, if that's what you're looking for, then being a lion is for you. Then our leopards, those are our lesser spotted, creative, but beautiful types. They're on stage as a worship team, a musician or a vocalist, or behind a camera or in the production room doing creative things. I'm not a leopard, but Vincent's a leopard. And so if that's your space that you want to express your gift in, then a leopard is for you. And then finally, our rhinos. Our rhinos are what we call our kingdom investors. So perhaps serving midweek or on a Sunday isn't a practical thing for you to do, but you'd like to invest into the kingdom of God through financial generosity or through offering your wisdom and insight of how to steward what God has entrusted us to steward, and to offer your guidance to us who are stewarding the church's finances and the vision and future of the church, then that's a space for you to get involved. So you're free to serve. We'd love for you to sign up. There are activation cards on your seat that you can sign up using. There's an activation station outside entrance 3 or any of the info stations after the service. If you're online, you can. There's a link in the comments. You can visit our website or our social media. pages to sign up. We'd love for you to sign up. But if you're new or you're visiting us, we'd love for you to feel at home and for us to be able to serve you. And if you'd like to make yourself at home, if you'd like to make Father's House your church, we're having a dinner on Tuesday evening, this coming Tuesday, the 20th at 6:30 in Warehouse 1, where you can meet the team and find out everything there is to know about the church and how you can make the most of your church life. Can you say amen to that? Okay, so onto this morning's message. I mentioned that we're going through the vision, which is to express our faith and freedom in every sphere and season. That's the second part of the vision. And Jesus, we've been quoting from Isaiah 61, where Jesus says he has come to proclaim freedom for the captives, to set the oppressed free. And we must express our freedom. So what does that mean? And are you free? We've all heard the famous Braveheart line, "They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom." Yeah, and we seem to resonate with that. We're like, yeah, we shouldn't be oppressed by some tyrannical ruler, we should be free as people. We seem to know that as collectively, as a people, there shouldn't be oppression. But even individually, I like my freedom. We know that prison is the taking away of freedom, and we want to be free of that. We want to be free, even individually, of addictions or sins or our own mind when it takes us captive, or our hearts when there's unforgiveness. We want to feel free. And God seems to agree with that in Scripture. If you think of the story of the Exodus, it's God saying, it's not good that people made in my image are in slavery. It's not right. And he opposes the slave master and sets people free. And so it seems appropriate that we are talking about freedom. But what is freedom? And are we free? Sometimes people say freedom is the ability to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Does that sound familiar? Now, I'm a rugby referee, and I know that if 30 grown men do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it on a rugby field, that is not freedom, that is hell. For me, at least. And the chaos that ensues. I mean, if I think back to my own life, maybe some of you can resonate with this. When you leave school, I went to school, my parents were quite disciplined, and my school was quite disciplined. And I mean, we had cadets, so it was like 7 a.m. band practice and 8 structured classes, one after the other, full school uniform, and a whole lot of things and homework. And then you matriculate and you're like, freedom! Woo! I'm free. And then you think, cool, off I go. And I was privileged enough to go to varsity. And they sort of give you a lecture schedule. No offense to varsities. If you can find it, you sort of have to find out when your lectures are. And then, you know, but nobody's checking up if you're attending the lectures, and you can do whatever you want to do. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to cream varsity. I'll just play as much sport as I want to play. I wasn't like necessarily jolling at varsity, but I was playing a lot of sports and I was coaching a lot of sports. I was free to do whatever I wanted to do, right? Until I wasn't, because then I got to my exams and all of a sudden I was enslaved to the decisions I had made to not study and not attend class well. I'm owning up to a few things. My parents might have a conversation with me afterwards because they paid for me to go to varsity. You know, then I wasn't free. And then I got to the end of third year and all my friends passed. They were getting ready for honors. They were going on holiday to have a nice refreshing time before we went into BCom accounting honors. And there was Mike, middle of the Christmas holidays, studying for my 5 rewrites that I had to write in January, enslaved to my freedoms. We only had 4 subjects. How was I doing 5 rewrites? 2 was from first semester, 3 from second semester. What on earth was I thinking? And then I studied. And then I was enslaved to study now. But after that, I thought, no, I'm not doing this again. I'm gonna sacrifice some of those freedoms for some disciplines and some responsibilities. You know what I found is I qualified as a chartered accountant. And then what did people say to me? The world is your oyster. You are free to do whatever you want to do now. So it seemed like some sacrifice of freedoms allowed for greater freedoms in the future, rather than being enslaved in the future to my freedoms in the past. And so, So what is freedom? Is it doing whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it? That seems to be what the serpent tricked Adam and Eve into doing. And as representatives of us, it's sort of what the serpent tricks all of us into doing. It says, did God really say you can't do that? Did God really put a shackle on you, a boundary around you? I thought God created you to be free. Why has God given you boundaries? And then we think, you're right. You're right. I should be God for myself, even though he's already made us in the image of God and given us boundaries of how to live free in the image of God. And so we clutched at knowledge and sacrificed true freedom. We went from submission to God to wanting to control. We went from dominion over everything to domination over one another. We went from servanthood to slavery. And that's not how God calls us to be free. Freedom of doing whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, that is actually exile from the Garden of Eden. That's actually exile from the Promised Land. That's hell on a Saturday afternoon when I'm reffing rugby. Or it's a December holiday spent studying for rewrites because I abused my freedom. Whenever we're deceived into thinking freedom comes from removing the supposed shackles and boundaries that God has given us to be human in the image of God, that's when we enslave ourselves to ourselves. And then the problem is, how do I get free from me? If I thought I was enslaved to God, but actually I was free, and I snatched that freedom only to find myself enslaved, and then I was enslaved to me, how do I get free of me? It seems that if slavery is in forced servitude, I was forced to study because I had abused my freedoms earlier. If slavery is in forced servitude, where choice has been removed, then freedom is a conscious decision about who, what, when, and where we serve. We're all serving something, whether it's money, whether it's our job, whether it's our ego and our pride, or whether it's God, or the church, or our family, or healthy habits. We're all serving something. And freedom is the choice of who, what, where, and when we are serving. It seems that we can either choose to serve God and others, or we can be enslaved to ourselves and our sin. And freedom is the choice between the two. It seems that the distinction between slavery and service is freedom. Sean, he's at the back here, he said this on Wednesday at our men's group. He said, we're either a slave or we're a servant. Freedom is the ability to choose. And I thought that was quite profound. And so there's a difference between enslaved to myself and service to God. And that difference is the ability to choose who it is we are serving. To the outsider, it might not look like much of a difference between enforced servitude and voluntary service, or between being in debt to someone or being indebted with gratitude to God, between the old covenant of trying to earn our way back to God and the new covenant of freely coming to God because he has come to us, of law and grace, where one is, I try to make sacrifices to get to God. The other is, God made a sacrifice to get to me. It might look like semantic differences, but truly, to the one who was enslaved and is now set free, it is a world of difference. And so the biggest conundrum to get over in the sense of freedom is, how do I get free of me? And it seems that the only way in which we can get free of me is to go to the Son, who sets us free indeed. And then you might say, but then why can't I do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it? Scripture says, actually, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, that you say, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered or enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. What if freedom is found in walking with God his way, not opposing the boundary lines that he has set up for us, but embracing them, knowing that within those boundary lines that he has designed for us, he has designed it so that we would be free within those. Brett, can I invite you up for a little illustration? Brett is our music director here. Now, Brett has spent years and years and years sacrificing some freedoms in order to learn the skill of playing the piano. Now, I might say, well, I have the right to do whatever I want to do. I can play the piano however I want to play it, right? Should I try that for you? Let's see how that sounds. Now, you can sit there, Brett, don't worry. I can just do whatever I want to do. Is that enjoyable? Is it pleasing to the player? Do you think the person who created the piano is happy? I could try legalistically make my way back. Brett, can you teach me note by note? It'd be a bit painful. But if I spend my life in humble surrender to the one who created me to learn the boundary lines that he has, that have fallen on favorable places for me, then perhaps I'll have freedom. Brett, are you free to do whatever you want to do? Could you let us hear what the sound of freedom sounds like? Thank you, Brett. So Brett could only play the keys that were on the keyboard, that the way that the person who made the piano created the piano to play. But because he willingly surrendered to that, he was free when he played. That's the sound of freedom, not doing whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus went on to say, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That scripture is telling us that there is one way to freedom, and that is to acknowledge the truth that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for all. That there is no other way to be freely and fully human, but in the way that God intended us to be. And there is only one real way of getting over me so that I can be who God intended me to be, and that is by surrendering ourselves as disciples of Jesus to follow his truth, to acknowledge that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen to that? So three quick steps to freedom. Firstly, and it's partly what we've been speaking about today, we need freedom from ourself and our sin. Paul writes famously in Romans 7 that I do not do the things I want to do. There is a war that wages within me. Even when I want to do good, I don't do good. even when I want to delight in God's war, there is somewhere else in my body that doesn't seem to delight in God's law. Even he writes that because of this, because of the fact that he cannot do what he wants to do, he knows he needs God's command. But then even with God's command, even with the laws, the 613 Levitical laws, he realizes, even though they're there, I still can't keep them. And then he concludes and he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we feel, I just don't seem to be able to do what I want to do. I really wanted to study when I was in third year. I promise, I really did. I wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to become a CA. And then I sat at my desk and I was like, oh, it's another auditing tutorial, but there's rugby on. I'll never forget studying for my honors exams and the Ryder Cup was on. I said, I'm just going to go watch one hole of golf. 3 hours later, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to pass. I wanted to study, but then I found myself watching the Ryder Cup. And even though I had a command from my parents, go and study. It's like, I know. But then peer around the corner, let's just have a look at the golf. We have this war that wages within us. And perhaps it's more serious than that. Perhaps it's, I want to love my spouse, but I'm too proud to say sorry. Maybe I want to honor my parents, but they hurt me and I don't want to go back. Maybe I want to take responsibility for my life, but I keep seeming to mess it up. Maybe I don't want to be addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be. I want to be free, but I can't seem to be free of me. Come to Jesus. Let the Son set you free. And he whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. Paul writes in Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That can be interpreted in two ways. Don't go back to the thing that you were enslaved by. But also, don't try slavishly work your way into God's affection. He's called you a child. He has set you free. Come freely to God. Don't enslave yourself to religious practice and don't enslave yourself to yourself again and to your selfish nature. Be free because the Son has set you free. So we want to be set free from ourself and our sin. And freedom is found in the Son and in the Spirit. I mentioned you come to the Son and whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. Jesus said, when he started his public ministry, and this is our sort of word for the year, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. So Jesus came to set us free. He was speaking to Jewish believers there who would have had the story of the Exodus in their mind whenever they heard of freedom. They were enslaved, and then they were set free. And Jesus is saying, we're enslaved to our own selfish nature, to a fallen man. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm going to set you free. But those same people would have known that they were led out of captivity, not straight into the promised land, but into a desert. And sometimes that's what it feels like. I'm free from what I was stuck in, but now I'm not where I wanted to go. I'm faced with the unknown. Where to next, God? How will you provide for me now, God? Where am I going, God? And they knew that God led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. God's very presence led them through a wilderness to a promised land. And some of them chose not to follow God's way and wandered around aimlessly for the rest of their lives. And others said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that same pillar of fire and cloud by day that led the children of Israel in the wilderness will lead us today in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, 2 Corinthians says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The way God leads us is not a restrictive leading. He's not shackling us in. He's leading us in such a way as to maintain our freedom, to not be enslaved again. Paul wrote previously in Galatians 5. The Israelites didn't want to follow God's way and found themselves enslaved again. Let Jesus set you free and allow the Spirit to keep you free. Freedom is not the absence of boundaries, but the ability to choose how to play within those boundaries, like Brett showed us earlier. Freedom is not even the absence of giants. It is the capability to overcome them and not be enslaved by them. Freedom is not doing whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it, but willingly adopting the responsibility to bear my cross and serve God, knowing that He has carried the cross I couldn't carry for my freedom. And when I do that, as Brett showed us, when I willingly adopt that responsibility, then I am free to act and to live out who God has called me to be. I'm free to play the sound of freedom with my life. So allow the Spirit to lead you and keep you free. Freedom is choosing to serve God and others rather than being enslaved to ourself and our sin. And finally, we are set free for something. And we are set free for service and song, or for service and worship, more accurately. But I just needed another S. You know, when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, He said, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may serve me or worship me. God wasn't saying, let my people go just so that they can be free to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Our freedom is not so that we can do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. Our freedom is for service to God. And in serving God, we find that that is true freedom, because that is who we were truly created to be and called to be. The children of Israel were led out of slavery so that they could go into all the world and be a blessing to all the world, to reveal God's wisdom and His ways. They failed, but ultimately through them came Jesus, who came to show all of the world what it is to live in the true image of God, and who God truly is was revealed in Jesus. Our call, the reason Jesus sets us free, is so that we would go into all the world and show the world this is the way to the Father. This is how it is to live in the image of God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as He has loved us. The ability to choose that is true freedom. That is true freedom. Paul says in Galatians 5, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That is, do not do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving, the difference between slavery and freedom is the ability to choose who and what we serve. Choosing to serve ourselves only lands us enslaved to our sin. Choosing to serve God leads us to true freedom in the service of God and the service of others. We are all serving something or someone. Freedom is the ability to choose who we serve. Choose wisely. Choose Jesus, for He sets you free. Choose the leading of your Spirit, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can you say amen to that? If you're able to, will you please stand with me as we close and pray? I want to remind you before we pray that there will be personal prayer available after the service. If anybody feels they need to be set free, we'll give an opportunity for that. There's communion available up front as well, our guest lounge after the service. And remember the Make Yourself at Home dinner on Tuesday, and even our evening service this evening at 5 p.m. We'd love to see you there. But shall we take a moment to pray? And as we do so, Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you that in you, there is absolute freedom. Freedom to love you fully, freedom to be loved, and freedom to share your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you have declared the truth that our God reigns and that you are the way to the Father. And so if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You have set us free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, and that where your Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So would you lead us in freedom by your Spirit, we pray. For anyone here today who feels captive to themselves, enslaved in their heart or mind, enslaved in their sin or situation, that we seem not to be able to do what we want to do, which is, I want to serve God, but I can't seem to be able to do that. If you're in that situation today where you want to be set free, would you raise your hand for me so that I can pray for you for freedom? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we pray for every hand raised and every circumstance, situation, or person represented today, that the shackles of their sin and shame would be loosed by you, Jesus. That you have gone down even into hell itself and set the captives free. That there is nowhere you can go, there's nowhere we can go where we will depart from your presence. Instead, your presence will find us even if we set ourselves on the far side of the sea, even if we make our bed in hell. Even there, you will set us free, because where you are, there is freedom. So may we walk in the freedom of the one who has called us free. May we not yoke ourselves again to slavery to ourselves or to some laws, but be free to love and serve you and love and serve others. Now, for those of us who stand in freedom, may our lives sing the song of freedom in service of you and service of others. And so we commit ourselves to you and to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for church this morning. God bless you and goodbye.